Well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you love us, that you're here with us. And we thank you that as we go through this morning, that you'll speak to hearts. And we thank you for that, Lord. So we've been doing this series called Portraits of Father because I know Jesus came to reveal the Father, and he gives us these amazing stories and word pictures and everything that just give us glimpses of what Father God is like. And I love the scripture in John 4. Jesus actually says this to the woman at the well. He said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And there's such an invite in those words, "if you knew." And I think sometimes we don't live to the fullness that God has for us, or we don't ask for the things that he has for us, simply because we don't know who God is, how much he loves us, and how valued we are in his eyes. And I love, what Norm shared this morning over communion, that it is all about love and Father God's love for us in giving his son and Jesus' love for us. So let's push on into Daniel 11 as well, where it just takes this whole thought about knowing God, and it says the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. It's this knowledge of God that when we have it and we push into it, that's what changes our life. It changes how we live, changes who we are. So as we kind of look at wrapping up this series, I hope it's been giving you a real glimpse as to who Father God is and the enormous love that he has for his kids. And kind of as a mini series, as part of this main series, we've been looking at what I've called parables of mercy. Now, I've called them that. You won't find that written in your Bible. But I see kind of from the context where Jesus was looking at the Pharisees and he was saying, "You don't understand the heart of Father God." And he tells these three stories to illustrate Father's heart. And to me, they are stories of mercy. You have the shepherd looking for the sheep, you have the woman looking for the coin, and then you have the father looking for his sons. And this last one is the story that Jesus develops and really majors on, because it really does reveal the heart of a father that's looking for his sons. So in Luke 15, at the beginning of telling this group of parables, it says, "Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" This is the setting, and it's important to understand the setting as we look at the parables, because most people talk about the parable of the prodigal son. They've only seen one son in the parable, but it's a parable of two sons. And it's a parable of two sons because there was two groups of people that Jesus was speaking to. He was speaking to the tax collectors and the sinners. And that's where we have the story of the prodigal. But he was also speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, because God's heart is for them as well. And most of us find ourselves, in the story of the prodigal son. It's like, yeah, I've messed up, and I'm so thankful God has a heart for me. But we also can find ourselves in the story of the older son. So we're going to look at that today. So let's jump on in with the story of the two sons, not just one son, but two sons and an amazing father who is a picture of Father God. So last week we looked at the younger son. He asked for his inheritance. He took the money. He walked out. He went and he spent all that he had gained on loose living, living up the big life, but he lost it all. And he ends up in the worst place for a Jewish boy to be. He ended up with the pigs. He ended up hungry. He ended up alone. But he ended up coming back to his senses and saying, I need to go home. And I think heaven smiles when we get to that point of, I need to go home. So that's what he did. He comes home, he reconciles with his father, he is reinstated as a son, and the party begins. And that's the heart of Father. My son's home, let's rejoice, let's have a party. That's the younger son. But now let's look at the older son. So Luke 15, verse 25. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Like this big celebration. This older son didn't even know what it was about. Why? Because he was out in the field. He was serving. He was doing his best to be that good son, to be the one that his father would be proud of. And that's the trap of many of us, that we can want so much to please God, that we can get into serving God, we can get into striving, we can get into doing all the right things. And in the meantime, our heart shrivels. Because what we lose is in the midst of our serving and in the midst of our striving, we lose relationship. So this is where the older son was at. Doesn't even know what the party's all about. Longed for a party, but when one turned up, didn't even know. Luke 15:28, but he was angry and would not go in. Sadly, there are many in the body of Christ who are frustrated and they're angry. And the Bible never tells us it's wrong to be angry. It says, be angry, but don't sin. And sadly, for many of us, we've been brought up, if you're angry, that's sin. No, it's not. Jesus is telling this story, and he's telling this story about the son who gets angry. And there's no inference at all that it's wrong to get angry. See, anger is not wrong. Anger tells us that something is wrong. Usually it means that either a principle or a perception or a value has been violated. So we have this angry response. When there's anger, ask why. Why am I angry? What's happening on the inside? What's happening in my heart? It's a telltale sign that something needs to be addressed. And when we don't address it and we just push it down, it's still there. And it starts to sabotage things. And there's times when it just erupts like a volcano because it's just been pushed down and not been addressed. So he was angry and would not go in. Anger will rob us when we don't deal with it. When we don't deal with the things that are happening in our heart, they separate us from God, they separate us from others. God wants him dealt with. And I love the rest of this verse. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. The father that ran to the younger son and embraced him, dirt, smell, disgust, and all, It's the same Father who looks for those that have hurt and offended and have cut themselves off and has said, that's it, I've had enough. Father comes and he listens and he pleads and he shares, because Father is always about connection. And it doesn't matter whether it's sin that has broken connection, whether it's offense, whether it's hurt, whether it's disappointment. If we're disconnected, Father wants us connected again. So he comes looking for his son. And this really is a clear depiction of the Pharisees and scribes that were standing there. Remember I said about the setting, that we have the tax collectors and we have the sinners. They're all gathered around Jesus. They're having a meal. They're enjoying who Jesus is. And the scribes and the Pharisees were standing there wanting to serve God, wanting to go after God, but offended because they didn't understand the ways of God. So Jesus, in telling this story, is reaching out to you and me and to people who have cut themselves off because of their hurt, because of their offense, and because of their judgment. See, what happens when we end up really getting angry and stuff and withdrawing? Is that we end up eating from the wrong tree. And let me show you that in the next verse. The son starts to pour out his heart. And he says in verse 29, so he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. You can feel the anger, you can feel the passion, you can feel the disappointment in this guy. And it's interesting to note a couple of key phrases in here. I have, and you never. That disappointment, that offense, what it tells you is that when we are in a place like that, we are eating from the wrong tree. There were two trees in the garden. The tree of life, and that's the tree we're meant to feed from. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And ever since the fall, all of us have been eating from the wrong tree. And the fruit of that tree is always judgment. This is right, that's wrong. I did this, so I should get that. You hear even from little kids, little tiny tots, that's not fair. Who taught them that? It's evidence of the tree that we've grown up eating from. Or the question, why? Why can't I? Why not? Why? Anything happens, why? Why me? Why did that happen? On one of Ray's, I think it's the second album we did, Throne of Love, there's a song on there, and if you've got his album, Throne of Love, I'd encourage you to listen to it. It's called Why, and it's taken from Ecclesiastes, and it speaks about all the rivers run to the sea, and yet the sea isn't full. And to the place that the rivers flow, there they flow still. And adding one thing to one thing more, a man is born to try, to see if he can answer the endless question, why? Ever wondering why, for the reason why. If you found yourself struggling with those questions, it's the fruit of the wrong tree. And the amazing thing is that God doesn't answer those questions. And the reason he doesn't answer those questions is because it keeps us living from the wrong tree. So we can ask why. But remember, Jesus is telling this story to reveal the heart of the Father. So what does the Father say? And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." He didn't go after the why. He didn't give an explanation. He started with, "Son, you are always with me." Folks, that's the tree of life. That's the place of love and acceptance. That's the place of relationship. And Father will always bring us back to that place of relationship first. "Son, you are always with me." Nothing can separate us from his love. Love that passage in Romans 8. Nothing in heaven or hell, nothing in the past, nothing that happens to us can separate us from the love of God. And he goes on to say, "All that I have is yours." You're upset over a fatted calf? You own the farm. And you're worried because you never got a goat to celebrate with your friends? When we look at what hasn't happened and we focus on the offense, we lose sight of what we do have. He was worried about not getting a goat. He owned all the goats. All of it would be his. Don't let offense over what hasn't happened rob you of what God has to happen in your life. Because God is a good God. And he will turn everything for our good. Even the disappointments, even the failures, even the offense, even the heartache. God promises that he will take all of that and turn it for our good. But first, he brings us back into that relationship with him so that out of relationship, we can then look at things and begin to understand from the perspective of heaven. And that's what he does with his son. Finishing with verse 32, "And it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." It was right. See, the ways of heaven are always beyond the ways of earth. Mercy always triumphs over judgment. Yes, there is judgment, but mercy is a higher law, and it triumphs over judgment. It's so easy for each and every one of us to step into that place of judgment, especially if we've been disappointed or frustrated and we don't understand what's happening. We so easily gravitate back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was good, that's evil, that's right, that's wrong. And we step into that place of judgment. God wants to bring us as his sons and daughters into the higher laws of the kingdom. James 2 talks about the royal law. It's the law of royalty. It's the law of the kingdom. And Romans 8 speaks about the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And part of sin and death is judgment. The law, the spirit of life, eating from the tree of life, living from that place of love and connection, frees us from being those that are caught in the trap of judgment and caught in the place of offense. God wants his sons back. And I believe that if we've had disappointment in our life, if we've had things that haven't gone the way that we've wanted to, and even if we're angry, God is not upset with us when we're angry. He wants to love on us. Like the father in the story, he comes to be with us, to listen to our heart. He always listens to our heart. But he also brings the understanding that he is always with us. He will always love us. He will always walk with us. And he will bring us home. If you have questions, why? Ask them. You might not get the answer that you thought that you would get, because it's a deeper question that Papa wants to answer. It's a question of the heart, of am I loved, am I valued, am I accepted, do you care for me? Just as I see you care for others, do you care for me? That's the real question that we need to have answered. And I believe Papa wants to answer that question for so many who aren't like the prodigal son. They're like the elder son. They've stepped back. They've closed off. They haven't entered in fully to everything God has for them, because they're hurt. They're offended. They're cut off and they're distant. And I believe Papa's saying it's time to come home. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for that love that you have for us, regardless of whether we've ended up in the pig pen because of foolish mistakes, or Lord, whether we are just trying so hard to please you and we are serving and we're doing what we think are all the right things, and we don't understand why things aren't working out, and we don't understand why others seem to be blessed and close to you, and we just feel like we're going through the motions. Lord, regardless of where we're at in our journey, your heart is to meet with us, to listen to us, to connect with us, and to love us. Lord, bring your sons home. Bring your sons in from the field, Lord, that they might know what it is to party in the house. Because, Lord, you rejoice over each and every one of your kids. And I pray for that reality for all of us today, that regardless of where we're at, what our journey has been like, that you rejoice over us, and that you are always with us, and that your plan for us is good. Because you're a good God, you're a loving Father, and we thank you for that. Amen.